Today, I want to begin the message from the book of Numbers, the Old Testament book of Numbers, the 11th chapter, a story that I think will be familiar to very many of you. There's a wonderful illumination that comes from this story today. When we hear the story and then go on into some other passages of Scripture and see what the Lord has to say about these historic events later on. And if you'll listen very carefully today, I have titled my message, Ask with Care. You've heard the phrase, handle with care. The message today is on the subject of prayer, and the title of it is, Ask with Care. With that said, let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, beginning to read in verse 4. The children of Israel have been delivered from Egypt. They have been wandering in the wilderness for some time. They are on their way to Canaan, to the land flowing with milk and honey, the great land that God had prepared for them. On the way, God was feeding them with manna, the gift of bread from heaven, and the people were not happy with it. That's the background for the story. Verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. The word lusting here is an important word for us today. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Oh, I just thought, someone may be here today not have a Bible, didn't bring your Bible, or you forgot. If that's the case, if you just lift your hand, the usher will bring you a Bible. Verse 6. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Do you remember how God fed them every day with this bread from heaven? Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Moses made the terrible mistake of thinking that he was responsible for the people. And he wasn't. God was responsible for the people, and he was only responsible to do what God had shown him to do. But he took this tremendously heavy burden upon himself, and when he heard the people grumbling and murmuring, he took that personally, and it caused him to lose his heart. And he goes on to ask God, Have I conceived all this people? Did I give them birth? Have I begotten them that thou shouldst say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their father? Wherefore should I have flesh to give unto all this people? People are crying out. They're saying, We're unhappy with the manna. We want some meat. The bread was fine, but we're sick and tired of bread. Every day, the same old bread. We've fried it, we've boiled it, we've baked it, we've broiled it, we've barbecued it, we've done everything we know how to do with it. We've exchanged recipes with everybody in the camp. Everybody who has any idea what to do with this manna, we have tried it all, but it's still manna, and we are tired of this manna. Oh, what we wouldn't do for some meat, just some meat. Moses said, God, do you expect me to give these people meat that we may eat it? I'm not able to bear all this people alone, verse 14. It's too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, in other words, if you expect me to do this, then my prayer is that you kill me. I pray thee out of hand if I find favor in thy sight. If you love me and care for me, then go ahead and kill me, because there's no way I can do this. And let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. So God is ordaining some help for them. In the sound room, turn me down a little bit. We're getting just a little bit too much strength there. Verse 18. And say thou unto the people, that's better, thank you, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. God's telling Moses, you go ahead and tell the people that tomorrow you'll have flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Remember, the title of the message today is what? Ask with care. Now, the people of Israel have asked what? Meat, 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 meat. We want meat. Here's God's answer. I'm going to give you flesh. I'll give you meat, and you will eat. Verse 19. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you. In other words, you have said, manna, 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 we are tired of the manna, and you said you want flesh. Well, I'm going to give you flesh, and I'm going to give it to you in such volume that you're going to say, meat, 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 meat. We've barbecued it, we've roasted it, we've broiled it, we've boiled it, we've fried it, we've sauteed it, we've done everything we know. We are so tired of this meat. You're going to have a belly full of meat. It's going to come out your nostrils. You're going to be so full of it, and it's going to be loathsome to you. Now, keep this in mind. The thing oftentimes that we desire the most, are you listening? The thing that we long for the most is the thing that once we are given it, it becomes loathsome to us. If we are lusting after it, the word lust means to desire something intensely that is not in the will of God. We think that the term lust means just sexual desire, but lust does not mean only sexual desire. These people were lusting. What were they lusting for? Meat. Okay? Lust is any desire that overpowers you, that is intense within you, and that is outside the will of God. That's lust. God said, it's my will that you have manna. I give you all you need of it, and it is all you need. However, you're not satisfied with it, and so you're asking for flesh. I'm going to give it to you, but I'm going to give it to you not at your discretion. I'm going to give it to you in such a way that you're going to pig out on it, and it's going to become loathsome to you, and it's going to come out your nose. Verse 20. But even a whole month till it come out at your nostrils, it be loathsome unto you, because, here's why this is going to occur, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. In other words, we got 600,000 soldiers, plus their wives and children. And you have said, I will give them flesh that they shall eat a whole month. This is blowing Moses' mind. How's God going to do this? Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? Moses is having a faith crisis here. We're going to kill all the flocks. We're going to get all the fish out of all the seas. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out, told the people the words of the Lord. And the next few verses tell us how Moses gathered the 70 together and the anointing of the Lord came upon them. He took the anointing from Moses and put a part of it on these 70 elders. Let's jump down to the 31st verse and continue the main thrust of the story that we're after today. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high on the face of the earth. Now, let's just stop just a moment and see what God did in answer to the people's prayer. They said, we don't want manna anymore, we're tired of it, we want flesh. God said, all right, if that's what you want, I'm going to give it to you. And the way he gave it to them was that if you walked a day's journey from the camp in any direction, now man can walk a good many miles in a day. If you walk a day's journey any direction around this camp, the dead quail were stacked up 2 cubits high, which is 3 feet. Everywhere you walked, there were dead quail this high for miles. Did God give them the answer to their prayer? Oh, there's plenty of meat. Plenty of meat. Verse 32. And all the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. And he that gathered the least gathered 10 homers. Now, a homer is a measurement that we would relate to our volume measurement. One homer is 32 pecks. There's 4 pecks in a bushel. 32 pecks would be how many bushels? 8 bushels. They had 10 homers. 80 bushel of quail. That was the one who gathered the least. 80 bushel of quail. And they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of the place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. Now, not a very pleasant story, if you read the entire story. Now, it would sound like a very good story if you only read down to the 32nd verse where they were gathering up quail with a bushel. But when you read to the conclusion of the matter, you see it is not a very pleasant experience in the history of Israel. And it reminds me of this scripture from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, these words. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God's inviting us to make our requests unto Him. But we need to be reminded that we need to be careful what we ask for. Israel did not ask with care in the wilderness. Now turn with me to the 78th Psalm, and let's see what God revealed about that incident later on in Israel's history. Psalm 78 and verse 17. We'll read about 10 verses here or so. Psalm 78:17. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. So here they asked for meat to satisfy their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Because why? Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Now, hold your finger right there, and you can turn with me if you like, or just let me read it from Philippians chapter 4, a very interesting verse from the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be, anybody know this verse? Content. Therefore, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Why would I be content? Because I believe in God and I trust in His salvation. I believe in Him and I trust in His provision for me. In Psalm 78:22, it says that God was angry with the children of Israel because they believed not in Him and trusted Him not. They didn't believe him and they didn't trust him. He gave them manna. They said, we know better than you do. We need meat. God said, you need manna. I've given it to you. That's all you need. And we say, we want meat. and we lusted after that outside the will of God. Verse 23, though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat and given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent the meat to the full, or not plenty enough to eat. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls as of the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled. Watch this now. For he gave them, what's it say? Their own desire. Do you know that God will give you your desire at times when it is not his will for you? You're not listening. Did you know that God will give you your own desire when it is not his will for you? He will give you your own desire when it is not best for you. He will give you your own desire even when it is harmful to you. Why does God do that? Why does he do that? Because we are not robots. We are creatures not of chance, but of choice. We are free moral agents. And in the same way that the Lord will allow you to go straight to hell if you choose, the Lord will also allow you to have things in your life which are not good for you, which are harmful for you, which are detrimental to your health and your spiritual health. If you lust after them, trusting not in his provision for you. Ask, ask, ask with care. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. Key words. They were not estranged from their lust, but while the meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them, slew the fattest of them, smote down the chosen of Israel. For all this they had sinned still and believed not in his wondrous works. Now turn over to Psalm 106. And we come to the memory verse for today. I don't think I've given you a memory verse in a long time. But today I'm going to give you a memory verse. We'll learn it before we leave here today. Psalm 106, reading in verse 7. You know, there's a lot of things in this book tell us very many things about God that most Christians don't know. And in many cases, we blame God for things that are our own fault. In other cases, we're blaming the devil for things that are our own fault. Amen. Psalm 106, verse 7. This is not the memory verse. This just gets us to it. Same story. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy, and the waters covered their enemies, there was not one of them left. Then believed they his words, and they sang his praise. However, verse 13 says, they soon forgot his works. And they waited, watch this now, verse 13, they waited not for his counsel. They refused to wait for the counsel of the Lord, but moved out on their own. And verse 14 says, instead of waiting for the counsel of God and trusting in his provision for them, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. Here's this word, lusted again. They had their own desire outside the will of God. We don't care what you want, God. We want meat. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and they tempted God in the desert. Boing memory verse 15. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Boing. End of memory verse. Read it with me. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. Now, when you ask of God something that you do not ask with care, you will oftentimes get your request, but you get something added with it. Basically, what you get is, what is added is actually something that is lost. For the word leanness here means to be famished, to be emaciated, to be thin, skinny, to have something lacking. The scripture says God gave them their request, but along with this 80 bushels plus of meat for them to eat, so that they were completely engorged in their natural being, in their flesh being, their body was completely happy, their body was singing praise songs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I love quail breast roasted. Hallelujah. 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 But it was the body singing. But something had been lost in the soul. And what had been lost in the soul was a lack of contentment, a lack of confidence in God, a lack of trust in the provision of God. And it cost them their life. Say it with me. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. Memory verse. Kids, you've all done memory verses. Mom and Dad probably hasn't done a memory verse in a long time. This is your opportunity now at every meal. Mama, memory verse time. Daddy, what's the memory verse for this week? Now you check them out, just like they do you. You check them out. This is a verse I don't want any of us to ever forget. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They became spiritually emaciated. Their bodies were strong with this new meat that they had, but their spirits were so weak that it ultimately cost them their lives. Hold your finger there and turn over to the book of Ezekiel. If you've never seen this verse before, this verse is going to shock you. Book of Ezekiel, chapter number 20. I think sometimes Christians have this idea, well, God, he'll just, if I ask wrongly, he'll just straighten things out for me. No, God doesn't always straighten things out for you. If you're lusting in your heart after something that he knows is not going to be good for you, but you just will not let go, he may give it to you. But with it will come a spiritual weakening on the inside of you. For you have given up your confidence and your trust in God, and you have taken over the rule of your life. Ezekiel 20 and verse number 24. We'll read three verses here. You can actually read this entire chapter beginning about starting in verse 1 and reading over through the 26th. But we'll not take the time to do all that. We just read the three verses here from the 24th. Because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore, verse 25, key verse, I gave them also statutes that were not good. Let me read that, just that part again. Wherefore, I, God, gave them, my people, also statutes and laws that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. Now the inference here is that when God gives a law, when he gives permission to something, we say, oh, God gave me the law there, therefore I can do that, and that's good. God said, I gave them laws that weren't good because they wouldn't listen to the ones that were. Verse 26. And I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, in other words, they sacrificed their babies, that I might make them desolate to the end, that they might know that I am the Lord. Now, I don't know if that reminds you of anything, but that reminds me of our country. That verse right there reminds me of the United States of America. I think that message ought to be preached in the State of the Union address. I'd love to hear a Christian president take the Word of God and take some of these principles and declare them to our people. Of course, he'd be laughed, he'd be laughed to scorn by those that are important, so-called, in our government, in the media. But he would at least be declaring truth for the country. I polluted them in their own gifts, that I caused them to pass through the fire, all that openeth the womb. Do you know that everything's legal is not moral? See, it's legal in this country to kill babies. God, the Bible says that God rules in the affairs of men. Why would God allow the United States of America to legalize the killing of babies? Are you listening? This is it right here. Verse 24 tells us why. Because they wouldn't execute my judgments, they despised my statutes. They hated my laws, therefore I gave them laws that were not good. And then they thought, since it was legal, it was okay. It looks like we're about to get one of those with this sodomites in the military. See? And a lot of other laws in that whole area, that whole arena of things. As long as our country refuses the law of God, as long as a nation we despise the laws of God, God will give us laws that are not good for us, and they will ultimately destroy us as a country. Now, they won't destroy us while I'm alive. I've got maybe another 20 years or so. Maybe not even during the life of my children, but my grandchildren, perhaps. Do I care about that? Well, it's not going to, our country will not be gone likely while I'm alive, but I care about my children. I care about my grandchildren. I'd like to leave them a free and righteous and a godly country to grow up in and to raise their children in, wouldn't you? But if we despise the law of God, and that's where we are in our country, we're despising the law of God. Our basic laws, the laws under which we were founded, recognize the right to life. I mean, it's a constitutional right. I don't know how on earth we could ever. I mean, it's our country. How we could ever come to the conclusion as a country that life is not important. Life can be taken when our Constitution recognizes the right to life. Now, we have a so-called right to privacy, which is more important than the right to life. It's just crazy. How do countries get in this fix? They get in this fix the same way people do. People get in this fix, and countries get in this fix, by despising the law of God, despising the word of God, and despising a confidence in God, and beginning to put confidence in themselves, lusting for something outside the will of God. And God gives laws that are not good for us and ultimately will destroy us. It will destroy individuals, it will destroy families, it will destroy communities, and it will destroy nations. See, the United States of America is not guaranteed prominence in the earth for all eternity. If you know anything about history, you know that countries come and countries go. Nations come and nations go. And we are greatly blessed to be a part of this nation in the age in which we live. But if you know anything about your history, you know that the countries that were great 100 years ago, 200 years ago, are today nothing. And there's nothing to prevent, except the hand of God, there's nothing to prevent the United States from going exactly the same way. Oh, we have all this wonderful natural resources. We have this natural wealth. We have this. No, 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 no. The thing that has made God great, or that has made the United States great, is that it has been a Christian nation. If it ceases to be a Christian nation, it will cease to be great. You won't be around to see it. But I hope we don't have to watch it from heaven. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good. All right, James, book of James. It's easy to stop preaching and go to meddling. But you know, does this word speak as clearly to you as it does to me? I mean, do you not see it as clearly as I see it? Book of James, chapter 4. Here's the New Testament slant on what we're talking about this morning. Ask with care. Verse 13, chapter 4. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whoopee-doo, we're going to do thus and so. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall go into such and such a city and live there and continue a year and buy and sell and get gain. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is what? Evil. All right. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 5, and let's look at the testimony of Jesus. John 5, I love this verse. It's the 30th verse of John 5. It's the testimony of Jesus about operating in the will of God. Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. I can, John 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing. Now, what does he mean by that? Does he mean he's not empowered to do anything on his own? Does he not have the right to choose to do whatever he wants to do? That's not what he means. He said, I have made some decisions along the way that have removed my right to choose anything except the will of God. Therefore, I can't do anything on my own. Not that it's impossible, but I have chosen to live in such a way that it is now impossible for me. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. As I hear who? As I hear my Father. I don't do anything unless I hear from Him. When I hear from Him, then I judge. And my judgment is just or right. Why is my judgment always right? This is an awfully arrogant thing for a man to say. Any man. Jesus said, my judgment is right. Why is my judgment right? Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. Jesus said, I have a will of my own, but I choose not to exercise it. I will not let my will determine my life. My will is subjugated or subjected to the will of God. And the only will I have is the will of my Father. That's the only way I'm going to live. That's the way I make my choices. We ought to do the same. 1 John 2:20 says, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. What is that unction? It is the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of us. You won't do wrong if you listen to your heart. That's where the Holy Ghost is. And if you watch your heart carefully so it doesn't deceive you. Now let's go to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 4, verse 23, this verse. I'm thinking about Christians. We've talked about the national life. I'm thinking about individual Christians. I'm thinking about a marriage that is in trouble. And a husband says, I don't love my wife anymore. I want you to let me divorce my wife, and I want you to let this woman over here divorce her husband, and then we can be married. Now we laugh at that because it sounds so stupid, but it happens. Happens also in reverse. Women get the same lustings. We have a family that's living in a house that God has supernaturally provided. All things God provides are supernatural. If you think you earned it, you're just kidding yourself. I'm not happy with this house. It only has 3 bedrooms and 2 baths in it. And everybody that I know is getting bigger houses and better houses. And they've got swimming pools in them and so on. And I'm not content with this house. And I desire a bigger house. And so you sell that house and you and God gives you a house over here. And it's got 4 bedrooms in it and 4 baths. And it's got a swimming pool. And it's wonderful, except the neighbors have 3 dogs that bark all night. The swimming pool has got a crack in it, and you've already spent $6,000, and you can't get the crack fixed. There are termites underneath the foundation of the house. The plumbing doesn't work. All the pipes rattle every time you turn on the shower. Are you happy? You got your 4-bedroom, 4-bath swimming pool house. That's the principle. The principle is ask with care. Ask with care. Be careful how you ask and what you ask for. James said, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask in order to spend it on your own, what's he say? Lust. You're asking, you want to spend it on your own desires, the desires of the natural man, the desires of the flesh that are outside the will of God. And when you get it, it just destroys you. That's the danger. Ask with care. Does God want us to bring our requests unto Him? Yes, He does. Does He want us to pray? Yes, He does. Let your requests be made known unto God. He cares for us. But ask with care. Because you don't want God to give you your request and send leanness into your soul. The man that you divorced your wife for, or divorced your husband for and marry, may turn out to be a snorer all night long. You can't sleep. You're laughing, but those things happen. God knows. That man you're in love with may just come right out your nostrils. You get so much of him, you just can't stand it. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, these words. Keep thy heart. Boy, you got to watch your heart, beloved. You got to keep a watch over your heart. And I'm not saying you don't just say, Holy Ghost, watch my heart. This word says you watch your heart. You watch it. Keep thy heart with all what? You got to stay after it all the time because there are outside pressures all the time. Don't you know that this business in the Israeli camp in the wilderness, don't you know that just started with somebody saying, boy, who do you remember how it was we had that roast beef down there in Egypt? Remember we had the cucumbers and the, poor what I wouldn't do for a, some southern fried quail. Amen. Amen. They're sitting on the patio, you know. That sounds so good. My mouth is already shaped to receive it. And the first thing you know, that thing would just spread like wildfire through that whole camp. Now you've got 2 or 3 million people lusting after southern fried quail. But it started out because somebody... Don't knock it if you haven't tasted it. You get my point, though. I mean, it starts out. You got to keep your heart because these influences are coming in. All to turn on a television set. Your heart is being assailed. You cut to commercial. Your heart gets assailed. Now no longer does your car satisfy you. Your wife doesn't satisfy you anymore. Your kids don't satisfy you. Your house doesn't satisfy you. Your washing machine doesn't satisfy you. Your oven doesn't satisfy you. Nothing satisfies you anymore. Because of what's coming into your heart, you see, through all these external means. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You've got to be diligent about this. You've got to decide, I'm going to be content with my God taking care of me. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, that is, out of the heart, are the issues of life. I'm afraid I don't really know my own heart. So God, would you please search my heart, try me, test me, know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and then lead me in the way everlasting. I think that's an appropriate prayer for all of us to pray. I think we ought to pray it routinely. God, I'm doing all I can to watch my heart. I'm keeping my heart. I'm watching what comes in. I'm checking it. I'm throwing out those things that I know are not pleasing to you. I'm throwing out, getting rid of those things that I know are going to cause me to lust in an improper way for things that are outside of the will of God. But yet, I'm not sure that I'm catching them all. I'm not sure that my sieve is fine enough. Would you search me, Lord? Know my heart. Look inside me and know my thoughts. And if you find any wicked way on the inside of there, would you please set me free from it and lead me in your everlasting way? Because I don't ever want to make the mistake that the Jews made. I don't want you ever to give me my request if I have to get leanness in my soul along with it. Don't ever give me what I ask you for if I have to take soul leanness with it. Don't you give me anything that's not good for me. Lord Jesus, keep me. What's our memory verse? And He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. Psalm 106:15. Will you know it next week? Very, very, very important verse. Very important verse. Very important verse. Young people, we're talking about marriage today. If you're not married, you be very careful how you are asking God concerning your mate. You don't want to lust outside the will of God. You want the will of God in your life. You find out what God's will is because He'll give you your heart's desire. But if along with it comes leanness, man, life is real long. You're talking about a lot of years, and you're talking about a very important part of your life. You don't want your desire, beloved. You don't want your desire. If your desire has a companion called leanness of soul with it. You wait for the counsel of God. I hope lots of things in this passage today that I trust that the Lord is showing individuals in their individual lives and many things that we could talk about today, but I think you get the drift and get the picture. All right. Let's everybody get a hymnal, please, and